Lincoln. Roland, you know, we have in the course of the last couple of weeks had some poetry, which you were going to regale us with a little bit later on. But just I noted, and I've talked about this because my brother Ralph is a musician of some experience, and wonderful as it is. One of the few people I know, by the way, and this is remarkable and stuff, that can play Bach's Mass by memory.
By memory.
By memory. That's extraordinary. However, the Library of Congress has awarded the Gershwin Award to Billy Joel, not only for his music, but for his excellence in words. And along with Paul Simon, and I would include Lennon and McCartney in that, but particularly Billy Joel and Paul Simon, Simon and Garfunkel, these men are poets. The words that Billy Joel, particularly piano men, as you know, I used to play piano before my left hand was disabled in the war, Vietnam. He wrote Piano Man, and I remember that distinctly because in 3 minutes and 52 seconds, he defined life in a bar. It was remarkable, absolutely remarkable. Billy Joel's, not Billy Joel's, Paul Simon's The Sounds of Silence. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. It's about dying, okay? And silence will, that, remarkable, the words. You know, I have a thing about words. And so the Library of Congress has given this magnificent Gershwin Award to Billy Joel, which is a terrific honor. It's the Congressional Medal of Honor for Entertainment, in my opinion, because of his contribution, in my opinion, to words. And Paul Simon, hopefully, will be duly noted. Because if you listen to the body of their work, the significant body of their work, they deserve that reward, like Cole Porter did. His words to this day are words of a generation. And Billy Joel and Paul Simon define that. So congratulations to Billy Joel for his wonderful achievement for the Gershwin Award.
You know, most people, when you say the word, well, let's... You say the word poetry, they say, oh, no. I mean, I remember that from school, and it wasn't interesting. I had to write a poem and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But poetry is, to me, literally part of life, and it's been part of my life for the last 20 years. And, you know, I have two books of poetry published and one of poetry and commentaries.
Yes.
To this day, still get a lot of reaction from folks who have either seen the books or purchased the books. But I also do a lot of poetry on my daily blog sometimes. But I try to relate the things that I do with poetry to an event or an experience that I've had. And I imagine all great good poets do that. Not that I'm a great poet. It's just that I must write poetry. If I don't do it, there's part of my being that says, why aren't you?
I didn't get up this morning and that.
You know, once you open that muse, sure, within you, it must continue. But there was a time many years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, where a woman drove her car into the ocean or some body of water and drowned her two kids. It was a big news story back, I think, in the mid-90s.
Yes, yes.
I don't remember her name and much else about it.
I remember the story.
But I do remember writing a poem, which I entitled Two Deaths at that time. And that became part of the book, but it also became a television commentary at the time. And I have a copy here. So
please, please.
There is a place of cuddling comfort and dancing peaceful wonder, where bumps and bruises cannot hurt and toys and crayons never break, where pillow fights and giggles last and frostings taller than the cake, where teddy bears talk in colors and puppies wait to play, where candy is for breakfast and presents fill the room, where no one knows what fear is, no shadows can consume. This special place is one of peace, of grace, and joy, and games, where all the mothers of the past hold children who die young and make for them a breasted warmth and memories always fun. I believe that in this lighted place, there's no need to understand how another takes a life and causes innocence to die. But it does make me more aware of the child in all who cry. Then truly does my judgment fade and anger change to light. When love is unconditional, forgiving, then is pure. Even so, my heart is heavy, and I can cry and cry some more.
Wonderful.
You know,
that says it all. That says it all. And it was related to that particular
to sad that
story.
Event,
yes.
To that tragedy. And I write a lot that way because it works for me. And sometimes you can do it in a limerick and it becomes very, very funny.
But, you know, what people, I remember in the coffee houses, not just in Greenwich Village, in San Francisco and other places, over the course of my lifetime, we used to have what we call the angry poets, the poets of the 60s and 70s. And they had some characters in there. But what they were really saying was that it's my way of peaceful expression, of expressing my disapproval of the government, and it was always about the war and the government and so on and so forth, and sometimes about sexual orientation and gosh knows what else, or smoking or not smoking pot, and whatever the case may be. But it was their way of expressing it, you see. And it was words. We get back to my phrase earlier on. It was words. The words. When we talk about the Bible or any religious book, the Quran, doesn't matter. The Old Testament, as far as for the Jews, the importance of these books are the words of the prophets, the words that define my religious belief, regardless of your religious belief. And that is important, but it's always in the words. And poetry begins to bring it all together.
You say back in the San Francisco days of the, late 60s?
Late 60s.
Late 50s, 60s, et cetera, yeah. The angry poets. I remember talking to a literature professor out in California many years ago. And he was reading some of my poetry. And he says, you know, you're what I call a neoclassicist.
Really?
And I said, well, what's that? And he says, well, you like rhyme and meter. And I do.
Yes, you do.
I mean, I like the discipline of rhyme and meter.
It senses
he
it.
He says, but that doesn't work today. He says, what you need to write about are things that get you angry. And he says, only then can you be successful. I says, I can't agree with you. That doesn't work for me. My nature is not anger. My nature is compassion, and things that we each can do for the other in order to understand each other better, because we're
correct.
All really part of one.
Yes,
there is no difference between an Afghani and us and a German and a Norwegian. I mean, we have different cultures, but we still were created by the same. All that is.
What degree of separation? Not much. But poetry allows us to extend beyond that. It allows us to place, just like, of course, with Billy Joel and the music, because he had, as Paul Simon and others have done, they add music to their words. And those music to those words, John Lennon comes to mind.
Indeed.
And they laid out the groundwork for what they want to say. And we all have that point of expression. But you don't have to be angry to get your point across.
No. No. That's what was my argument. I was having dinner in Manhattan one time between broadcasts. And I was sitting alone at this very nice restaurant. And Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley, I think, was his significant other at the time.
They were together, yes.
Walked by, and Billy Joel stopped at my table. And he says, I just want you to know. He says that I watch you every night, and I think you're terrific.
Well, that's nice.
Well, I mean, I was thrilled. Are you kidding? I mean, Billy Joel was very is
and
was
still is yes.
Yeah, very big, and
yes.
It was very kind of him to do that. And I remember coming home and telling my sons.
But you know,
they didn't appreciate the fact.
Of course, they didn't. No. But you know, the point is that it's the recognition of the deserved efforts you've done. But he would, if you gave him a moment, he'd probably put a song to it.
Yeah.
To say thank you. That's how remarkable it is. And I've actually seen him in the studio, and he's that good where he can actually, you give him a sentence, and from a sentence, he'll create a song. Lionel Richie is in that same category, where you just, I saw him do it on the Dinah Shore show many years ago. He actually created a song out of nothing.
Those were the days when these guys took their lessons from the old Tin Pan Alley guys.
Yes.
Who could write about anything and on a moment's notice.
And make it interesting.
And
it was,
true.
And it was the words. We get back to the words.
Right. Well, each word has a power to it, and how you combine those words then makes a profound statement that we might all like to live by.
And when in the power of the medium is Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. Until next time.
America.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.